Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Growth Well Show. My name is Josh Bird. I am your host. I am so excited to have you today. As we explore the art of balancing professional growth and personal well-being, I've got an amazing guest for you today that I'll tell you about in just a second, but first want to give a quick thank you to our sponsors at MarketScale for keeping this podcast running. Now, turning to my guest, her name is Nadine Hoff. And if you're not familiar, she is an executive leader at United Healthcare. She's a wife and a mom of three. She's an avid fitness and nutrition enthusiast. And she is a referral from someone who has been on this show before, Rhonda Quintana, who I know you enjoyed her episode. So I think you're just going to love to hear what Nadine has to say. So let's get right into it. Nadine, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Josh. I'm so pleased to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so good to be able to sit down and have this conversation. So, you know, for our listeners that don't know you or about you, tell us a little bit about you and just kind of your background and how you got to where you are today.
Sounds great. I'd love to. Thank you for the opportunity. As you said, I am a mother of three. I have three beautiful children. My daughter Peyton's 24. Graduated from Auburn, lives in Florida. Our next one is 22, a senior at the University of Texas, and he is looking to graduate in the next semester with a finance degree. Exactly, hook him.
Yep.
And then our youngest is 16, and he is a junior in high school and is on the varsity tennis team. So we're super proud of him as well.
My littlest is a tennis player, and it's been fun to watch her. She's only nine, but she's crushing it. She's putting top spin on the ball and all kinds of things. I'm like, wow. So that's
so
cool that you have a tennis
watch.
Player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It really
and to
is.
See him
watching
grow
our
in
kids.
Sport.
Yes. Watching our kids grow is amazing to watch. I cut you off. Sorry. You were talking about your husband.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, my husband, John, we've been married for 26 years, and we live in Allen, Texas, so that is just a little bit north of Dallas. So we've been pleased, you know, to be able to live here and support our children who seem to be starting their own lives, which is great.
That's awesome. I both look forward and dread those days, you know?
Yeah, it is a journey, I will say that, definitely.
Yeah.
So my professional life, let's jump in there if you'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear it because you are a woman who has held all these amazing leadership positions and just created such an impact around you. So I'd love to hear about that.
Wonderful. Thanks for that. I've been in healthcare operations literally my whole career. And so just out of college, like my son and my husband, we went to the University of Texas at Austin. So we're avid Longhorn fans. But I worked for a company called PCA Humana just outside of college and was there for a bit as an analyst, getting my feet wet and really understanding the environment of healthcare. And then was recruited by Aetna to move to Dallas and help grow their Medicaid TPA business. And so I was with them for about 15 years and really expanded their model across the national footprint. And fortunately landed at Optum and United. And so I will have been here 15 years next April.
Wow. You don't hear that very often anymore. That's really
it.
I did not mean it that way. I just meant that it's really something to hear somebody really putting in the time and dedication to a singular company for that many years these days.
You're right. You know, it is because, you know, the changing environment, the landscape in healthcare, it's not common, but I see it a lot in my organization, to tell you the truth. I see longevity of upwards of 25 years, and there's so much opportunity within our organization. So for that, I'm grateful.
Yeah.
You know, to have so many different opportunities. And I started the organization in Optum with the case and disease management area, and I ran the Richardson site focused on large national account clients, and then did a little stint in Medicaid for Optum for a little bit, for about a year and a half, And then was asked to start up what I do today, and that is an innovative model where we focus on concierge support for national account clients. So these are very specific clients. You know, my first one is a very well-known tech company. And since 2018, when we started that, we've been able to grow our business, you know, to 22 clients in this model and over 1.2 million members. And so that the model literally is changing how members engage in their healthcare. And that's what's inspiring to me, is that we have that ability to help and support people through their healthcare journey.
Right. So you, if I'm understanding you right, you, through the insurance company that you work for, and I don't mean to sell it short, but you're working as that payer with big major corporations to help keep their employees healthy. Is that
it's exactly
an oversimplification of it? But basically what you're doing is partnering with them to keep their many, many employees across the country and maybe even across the globe healthy.
Exactly what it is. And, you know, it's their employees and their family members who we all go through challenging health situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've watched my parents go through it, you know, and even dealing with my children, navigating the healthcare system can be really hard. And so the model we've developed is removing that heavy lifting from the member, making it easier to engage in creating that sort of that one-stop shop where they have one place to connect, and, you know, an advocate or a clinician can take that heavy lifting from them and help them with all of their unique healthcare situations. And, you know, everyone needs an advocate at their side to help them and really offer that empathy and support.
Yeah. Everybody needs a friend, you know, and an advocate. And I love that. I love that that's what you're doing, because healthcare, the healthcare system today can feel so foreign and so scary and so confusing. And I think that, you know, having worked in healthcare myself for so long, I do know that it is, all well-meaning, but it's grown to be quite a behemoth of an industry, right? And someone navigating it can be very intimidating. So to do that, though, you have to know why you get up in the morning, right? You have to know your why. And one of the biggest cruxes of this show, and the thing that I'm finding when people have found their own path to success, is that they're really connected to that purpose. And so I'm really excited to hear more about your purpose. Why do you get up in the morning and do your work and do the other things that that matter so much to you?
You know, I really like the way that you phrase that, finding your why, and it's truly being authentic and genuine to what you believe in and what you do and why you do it. And for me, it is literally touching people's lives and having that positive impact. You know, and I see the innovation happening around me, finding new ways to engage with people. You know, I think about my children who don't like to talk on the phone. They like to use their phone, but they want to text. They, you know, they want to use technology to do a lot of things. And we have to stay in pace and in lockstep with that to be able to help support members, the employees and their family members, throughout their entire journey. And, you know, as you said, it's complex, it's hard to navigate. And so watching that happen real time as we come up with innovative digital solutions and programs that will help the, you know, certain populations like complex disease conditions or, you know, the general broad industry as it is. I mean, we want to be able to touch those lives and literally make it easier to engage. And that's what gets me.
Right.
I see that and I hear that in our calls. It is, that's the gratification that I love.
You know, it's interesting. It strikes me as you're telling me about that. I'm in startups for that very reason. And I love that you're able to do it in such a large company. I had a situation just the other day where I talked to an end user of our product, and they were just thanking me for the value that it created. And I'm like, man, that's why I do it. And I've never worked at a company the size of United. And but I love that you are able to not only affect change, but push innovation that really makes a difference there. And so that's really awesome. I love hearing that.
Thank you. You know, I think that we have to be honest with ourselves as well, because we have to constantly measure and check to see that it's working, and to see that we're doing things right for the member, not for ourselves, but for the member, and how that's impacting them. And so, you know, we have to look at how the outcomes and how things are performing, and be able to be nimble and change course as needed, so that we can get it right for the people that we work with and the lives that we're affecting.
Yeah. So to do that and be that missional and that focused, but yet to also, like you said, be a mother who's successfully raised two kids that are in their 20s, and you have one at home that you know, I like I said, I experienced the whole tennis parent thing. You know, that's a busy schedule as well. You know, how do you keep yourself growing and personally healthy? Do you have rituals and habits and routines that you know, really latch onto to keep everything sort of, you know, in quote balance? But we all know that balance is an action and a bit of a misnomer. Yeah. How do you do it? What's your go-to?
Well, first of all, you know, from my professional standpoint, I consciously have to keep my headspace in the curious. So things change around us all the time, whether we want it or not. And so I have to stay curious. I have to keep my head focused on learning more, and my desire to continually, you know, grow and learn. And so seeking that innovation and ways to adapt, you know, that's really important to what I do. And like you, we're utilizing technology like AI to, you know, determine outcomes of disease progression, things like that. That is so important and literally can change the outcome of someone's life. So that in itself is inspiring to me. I think the other thing I'll say is, you know, for me personally, nutrition and fitness are key in my overall well-being. That is just what works for me and helps keep my head clear and helps me stay focused on the things that are really important and shut off the noise to everything around me.
Yes.
But really stay focused and, you know, be the leader that I want to be and demonstrate for others around me the leadership principles that I want to deliver.
Yeah. So do you have a specific morning routine that you follow, or a specific, you know, nutrition regimen or diet that you swear by? I'm curious and I'd love to learn.
I wish there was a magic answer to all of that. And I think everyone's unique. For me, I'm an early riser. I'm the first one up in the house. I'm usually up about 5 o'clock in the morning. I get that cup of coffee. I will swear by the fact that coffee is God's nectar. And so I use that to, you know, wake myself up, get myself ready for the day. And then I have a quick workout. So it might be at home. I might go to the gym in the morning, depending on if I'm meeting with my trainer. And then in the afternoon, when I have more time, I can let the day go, you know, and I can go for a run, or I can go to the gym and do a workout class. It just depends on what's going on. And certainly with the travel that I have, I find things that can be flexible. I'll work out in my hotel or in my room. But what that does for me especially is it helps me to kind of settle in with so many things on my plate, and everyone else has that, it helps me kind of focus on where I need to be, what's important in it. And, you know, for me, it is a mental, probably more than a physical outcome. It's so enriching to my psyche. So, you know, it's just, I think everyone needs to find out where their sweet spot is there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a cyclist. I love nothing more than the feeling of getting on my bike and just going and like really pushing. Right now it's cold, and so I'm on my Peloton more, but it's fun. You know, I can crank up the music and make that fun too. It's a different experience, but yeah, it's interesting. The mental clarity that you get from physical exertion is pretty magical.
It's and those endorphins.
I think most, I think most of the people that are on this show have some sort of connection to fitness. I love hearing how flexible you are with it, though, because I think so many times business people and entrepreneurs and those who are aspiring to grow their careers, you know, try and often fail in this, I must get up at 5 a.m. and work out kind of mentality. And what you just said is that's what you like to do,
right. But
you also get it in the afternoon or in your hotel room or whatever, because you connect it more with your well-being than some ritual or routine that must be done first thing in the morning.
Right. You know? Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I think everyone is unique in the fact that they need to figure out what works for them. So for some people, it is a quiet space where they can read a book or, you know, just sort of connect quietly. Others need, you know, to be with people, to re-energize, to bring them up. So, you know, it's a very individualistic concept in whatever works for you. And fortunately, I have found what works for me, and guaranteed it does not happen every day. Like, there's days where I'm like, I'm just tired and I'm not getting up to work out. So I allow myself to heal and to say, all right, you need to sleep more than you need to work out. So you recognize those things in yourself and be true to that.
Yeah. Rest and recovery are active parts of health and well-being. And I think it's important. And oftentimes that gets so lost in either the hustle of work, you know, we have to always push, or, you know, in our fitness goals, we have to push. And I know from personal experience, that's a good way to get hurt. If you're one that pushes too far. I've been known to hurt myself a little bit. Not too bad, but just overdoing it where then I'm forced to rest because I can't do anything else. And so now, have you always been that way? Have you always been someone who is so focused on your fitness and nutrition,
you know,
or
back,
did that happen?
It was important to me, you know, certainly as, the stress of college and tests and things like that, I picked up running, and that was my outlet, and that helped me find that routine in that space that I used to be able to kind of just exhale and find that rhythm in my life. And so I'd say, that for the most part, I mean, I've had physical fitness in one way or another. I grew up as a swimmer, and then you know, after high school, I moved on to other things, but, you know, it's a part of who I am. My family knows this as well, and they can recognize those things when I'm getting a little edgy and, you know, exactly. My husband will suggest that I go for a run, or, you know, maybe you want to go to the gym. So that's my trigger. Okay. I need to take a step back and go release some of the stress.
But what a beautiful thing to have a partner that understands that and can actually see that maybe before you can. I know for me personally, my wife, she'll strongly suggest I go for a run sometimes. And you know, I'm always thankful that she did, because running is a great way to clear your head. Do you have other things or people in your life that kind of help you recognize when you're off balance? Because someone going as hard as you do professionally, plus being a mom, you know, I'm sure you get off balance, but how do you recognize it?
You know, I think that there's several triggers that I've learned to rely on over the years. You know, it's some of those perhaps physical reactions, you know, when you're so frustrated about a situation or someone sent you an email and you're just ready to jump down their throat. When I feel my cheeks getting hot and, you know, that is my trigger. Do not press send. You need to step back away from the computer and take a breath. Do you really want to be known as what you've said in that email, or do you want to word it that strongly? Because once you hit send or once you post something, you cannot take it back. It's out there.
No.
And so I've learned to rely on some of those physical reactions that I feel, my blood pressure rising, my cheeks are hot, to say, okay, wait a second, take a breath, don't react. We call it pause before overreacting, PBOR. It's an acronym that I've learned over the years. And that helps you to kind of take a deep breath and say, all right, I'm going to reassess, regroup, and figure out how I really want to respond. I have close friends around me who will not let me go too far over the edge to say, hey, tell me what's going on. They're so supportive.
Right.
So, you know, there for me. And that in itself, I'm so grateful for. And I would recommend that anyone who's listening to this podcast surround themselves with positive, uplifting people, whoever that is in your life.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That is so critical to your overall well-being, to be supportive, remind you when you need a little nudge, but also to make sure that they're there to boost you up when you need it.
Yeah. You can't, I challenge anybody to find a truly successful person that doesn't have a support system in place. And I think that we so glorify the single person or the achievement in this, in our society, in our culture today, that oftentimes what's not seen is the extreme attention to processes and systems and people around that individual or that successful attempt that are really what make it. And I think that people who are perhaps younger in their careers or their family or whatever, and they aspire to that, they don't stop and take notice of the village. You know, it takes a village, and they don't take notice of that village. But for every person that is on this show, there's a village around them. There's a village around me. My wife, my VA, everything. I have help. I couldn't do it alone. So I think it's important. And I think that's healthy to admit that, right? That we're not Superman or Superwoman.
Yeah, and to recognize the gratitude that we have for all those people in our lives. That's what lifts me up, is I can take a moment and say, you know, my life is pretty hectic right now. And, you know, I'm traveling. I feel like the plates are spinning around me. Yet, you're exactly right. We have so many people who are there helping us, believing in us, and lifting us up, that I have the gratitude that keeps me going and helps me to remember to thank those people who have helped me throughout my journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that gratitude is so important and so, I don't know why, maybe it's just me, but it can be very difficult because it takes stopping and realizing and acknowledging what you have gratitude for. Yeah. And in this life, we move really fast and our jobs move really fast. And so I think pausing for gratitude is huge. So back to kind of your go-to ways of dealing with when you're out of balance, do you have a thing that you go to? You've mentioned fitness, but like, is it running? Is it you know, if you get to that place where your cheeks are flush and you need to take a pause, what is your action item to take a pause? What's your favorite go-to there?
It depends on the situation, to be honest. So if I'm in my office and I feel like I'm hitting a wall, I literally keep a pair of tennis shoes in my the locker in my office. If I need them, I can go for a walk. I can go for a run on the treadmill. It depends on the situation. And sometimes if I'm in the middle of something I'm incredibly nervous about the outcome or how things are going, I will take a conscious moment and pray. That for me brings peace. It helps to remind me of the gratitude around me, but prayer is so powerful that it helps to center me and realize I am stronger than I think I am. And all of this apprehension sort of falls away and I can say, all right, here we go. I can do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I sometimes combine those. I go for a prayer run,
You
know, I leave headphones at home and I'm just like, I'm just going to go. And the dog, I have a dog that loves to run with me.
And, oh, nice.
You know, it just gets it all out of your head. Right. Yeah. And you fall into that rhythm of hearing your feet strike the pavement and you hear your breath and you hear, you know, you tune into the rustle of the leaves and the way your jacket is swishing. And I mean, all of that, you have this heightened awareness that's really magical and you tune in to that. And for me, that is a very prayerful state in that moment, you know,
it's beautiful. I wholeheartedly agree. Just to the way that you stated that, to hear that consistent rhythm of how your feet are hitting the pavement, to hear that you fall into that breathing rhythm once you kind of get going. And it's almost like you're not really running and you're just going.
You're just going.
And your stress is melting away. So I love that state of being.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it continues for quite a while after you run or after you bike or after you do whatever you do. It really does continue. That runner's high, if you will, that you hear about is a real thing.
Oh, for sure.
And I had somebody tell me I've never experienced a runner's high and it just hurts. And I'm like, how far did you go? And usually they're like, well, I tried it for a half a mile. And I'm like, first mile and a half for me are drudgery, absolute drudgery.
Yes.
But then you hit that, you know, that sort of state of bliss or state of calm is out there. Maybe it's in mile two. And so you push through, but you have to have experienced it somehow to get there, you know?
Yeah,
so
you push through the pain. Yeah, I agree. That first part of the run, for me, it's the first mile-ish. And I mean, I can say a lot of ugly things in my head because it's hard. It's really hard. My legs feel like lead. It's not working. But then all of a sudden it clicks in and you're like, there it is. That's what I needed.
I love it. It's 27 degrees here today and you're making me want to go run. So, you know, I might get it in. Probably won't today, but I will get it in sooner than later. So, you know, I started this because I was having these types of conversations with people already because I wanted to learn. And I've learned so much through this podcast. But what I've found is that the listeners that there's many, many listeners out there that I'll never meet or hear from. Yeah. And I think that's so cool. I like to ask my guests, what advice would you give others who are seeking, you know, to have the kind of achievement and impact that you have in your life, but doing it in a balanced way between professional growth and personal well-being? What advice would you give those people listening?
I would say, number one, keep going. You're stronger than you think you are. You can always talk yourself out of why, you know, I shouldn't do this or why I shouldn't pursue that. Be true to yourself and your desires of where you want to go. You know, when my kids were little, my career was not at the point it is now. And I have the ability now to have a little bit more luxury to, you know, focus on my career and, you know, continue to expand. But I would say be true to yourself and what your desire is for your career. Be honest with that and seek a mentor. I love mentoring other individuals, listening to them, helping them, supporting them, but lifting them up. And a lot of times that's just reminding them that they are all that and they can do it no matter what. And sometimes you just need a cheerleader on your side to say, you got it, you're going to be great, and I believe in what you're doing. So those things are so important. Listen to where your heart is and what you want. I think that's probably, you know, my number one advice so that you can truly seek what your outcome looks like.
Yeah, I love that. And I love having the mentor or someone you can bounce your ideas off of or say, hey, I'm feeling this way. Am I nuts? And usually they're like, no, that's really hard what you're going through. And then it's just validating. And I love that. I've had mentors in my life. I've had therapists, I've had coaches, I've had teachers, and they've all played that role in that, you know, village that has brought me where I am and will continue. So I love that. So what's next for you? What's on the horizon for your growth journey? Is there anything exploring, excited about, hoping to try next?
Lots of things. So, you know, with my curious spirit, I want to continue to grow and continue to expand. And so what that looks like is yet to be seen. I'm always have my eyes open. Once I, you know, am sort of secure in what I'm doing, that's my trigger to say, hey, push past that. You want to continue to grow. So, you know, it's that restless spirit that I have to continue to grow. And one of the things in particular that I'm really excited about is growing our participation with an executive women's group that we do. It's called Women Business Leaders of the U.S. Healthcare System. And it is C-suite leaders that are able to engage with each other across the healthcare industry. What I've been working on specifically is within our organization to grow our participation by over 275% by the beginning of next year. So I'm so excited about it. By 1/1/25, we will have grown significantly. And just to have open up the doors for more women executives in our company to navigate and engage and, you know, work with women across the industry is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's so powerful. That's really powerful. Yeah. I love that. Is there a link or something that we could post in the show notes and for anybody who wants to find out more about that?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll get that. Yeah, we'll get that from you and we'll include your LinkedIn in the show notes as well if anybody wants to, you know, connect with you there. Thank you so much for being on the show today. This has been really fun and it's so nice to have gotten to meet you. Any friend of Rhonda's is a friend of mine. And, you know, I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. It's been exciting and fun. It's a good break during the day to be able to talk with you and share in our excitement for those physical fitness endorphins.
Absolutely. So, I could talk about that all day. It's magic, right? So anyway, all right. Well, friends, that is a wrap on the show today. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to Market Scale for making this happen. This is the Growth Well podcast. And until we meet again, go out there and pursue growth well.